So we are Erev Chanukah. And of course, there's a great deal to say about Chanukah, although there is not much room devoted within Torah Shebaal Peh in terms of the early Makoros. We don't have a corresponding Maseches Chanukah like we have Maseches Megillah. And it has passing mentions, actually, passing references within the Mishnayos, and there's a number of theories or reasons as to why that is. The halachas of Chanukah are compacted into one or two dapim in the Gemara, in Bamei Madlikin and Maseches Shabbos. But of course, what it lacks in terms of those early sources, it more than makes up for as the generations develop. There is certainly a great deal to speak about. And I wanted to begin this evening by making reference to probably the most famous question in the literature about Chanukah, after, of course, my Chanukah. And that is the question of the Beis Yosef. And he stops us from taking things for granted. If you ask any child, how long is Chanukah? 8 days. Why 8 days? Well, the oil was only meant to last for 1 day, but a miracle happened. It lasted for 8 days. And at this point, Rabbi Yosef Karo, in the Beis Yosef, steps in and asks an interesting question. Namely, there was enough oil for 1 day, which means that of the 8 days, one of them was normal. 7 of them were miraculous. And therefore, if you take the 1 day's worth of oil and you get 8 days out of it, so as they would say in modern Hebrew, netto, you get 7 days worth of miracle. And if that is the case, then why is Chanukah 8 days and not 7 days? That's the question of the Beis Yosef. We should mention in passing, it's always important to note the early Nuschaos. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, my Chanukah, Daf Kaf Aleph, that there was only enough oil for 1 day. But it's important to note, in the interests of Shleimus HaInyan, that Rav Achaigon, one of the early Gaonim, who wrote the She'iltas, a systematic treatise on the mitzvahs, when he tells over the story, his version is, his girsa was that they found one cruse of oil and there wasn't even enough oil for 1 day. Afilu liyom echad. Our Gemara says wasn't enough oil ela liyom echad. The She'ilta says there wasn't enough afilu liyom echad. According to the She'ilta, as the Mefarshim are then quick to point out, was in fact 8 days worth of miracles because even 1 day it couldn't have gone b'derech hateva. But to come back to the Beis Yosef, this is the question. Why is Chanukah 8 days? The miracle was only for 7 days. One of them was at least the natural capacity of the oil. And he gives 3 classic terutzim. That was only the beginning, because after the Beis Yosef, many, many other terutzim were given. But let us focus on, at least initially, on the answers of the Beis Yosef, because that is where the discussion begins. The first answer, and these are all his suggestions, is that it could be that actually there was a miracle every day, and the reason why is because an eighth of the oil burnt every day, and as true as it is that spread over 8 days there is 1 day worth of oil, but you never had any one of those 8 days where the oil was burning quote-unquote normally, because normally a day's worth of oil will burn within a day. And here, for every one of the 8 days, you had a miracle that the entire day used up only an eighth of the oil. That's the first answer, to divide it into eighths. The second answer, and actually we may already characterize the second and third answer, are quite similar to each other. What they're looking to demonstrate is that there was a miracle even on the first day. The second answer is that it may well be that on the first day after the day had finished, nonetheless, within the menorah, each candle, each ner, lamp, remained full. As if to say that when they burnt on the first day, by the end of that day, the lamp within the menorah, the seven lamps within the menorah were yet full. And that is how the miracle proceeded, so that every day, even on the first day, there was a miracle. The third explanation, quite similar, as we said, in form to the second, is that the Beis Yosef suggests that as they poured from the jug into the seven lamps, so it refilled, or it never emptied. And therefore, once again, the point is that even on the first day, there was the miracle, because as they poured out the seven into the lamps on the first day of the menorah, the jug was yet full, and that was a miracle even on the first day. Now, we should note, and again, these are the classic explanations of the Beis Yosef, but one of the early commentators of the Shulchan Aruch, more or less in the generation after the Shulchan Aruch, the Pri Chadosh, Rabbeinu Chizkiah de Silva, who's buried here in Har HaZeisim, the Pri Chadosh has a very different approach to this question. The Beis Yosef is asking, there were only 7 days of miracle within the oil. Correct, says the Pri Chadosh. If that is the case, then why do we have Hanukkah for 8 days? The answer, says Pri Chadosh, is that one of those days that we are celebrating Hanukkah, we are not celebrating the miracle of the oil. Rather, we are celebrating the other miracle, which was certainly equal in stature, namely, Al HaMilchamos, Va'al HaYeshuos. I mean, that's also a miracle that also deserves celebration. And in fact, says the Pri Chadosh, it's fascinating to consider that of the 8 days of Hanukkah, the first day celebrates the war, and then the ensuing 7 days celebrate the indeed seven miraculous days of the burning of the oil. And says Pri Chadosh, I have asserted this, and now I will prove it. How so? Well, as we know, Hanukkah begins on the 25th of Kislev. We also know that according to many opinions, and the Rambam says this explicitly, the 25th of Kislev is the day that the war ended. That's the famous remez from Rishonim, Chanukah, Chanu, Kafhei. The war ended on the 25th of Kislev. The Rambam states so explicitly. And therefore, says Pri Chadosh, so let's consider the timeline. The war ends on the 25th of Kislev. Okay. They make their way to the Beis HaMikdash, and they light the menorah. When would be the first time that they lit the menorah? When was day one? Day one was the evening between the 25th and the 26th, which leave you the ensuing 8 days. If that's the case, asked the Pri Chadosh, strange as it sounds, if our 8 days of Hanukkah correspond to the 8 days that they lit the menorah, so Hanukkah is a day early. Could get another shopping day in. It should be the 8 days that they lit, from the 26th of Kislev until the 3rd of Teves, not from the 25th until the 2nd. That's a good shaila. And therefore, says the Pri Chadosh, we need to understand that the first day of Hanukkah, the 25th, is not about the lighting. We're not commemorating the miracle of the oil. It hadn't happened yet. The oil had not begun till the 26th. The 25th is about the war, and then the next 7 days, from the 26th till the last day of Hanukkah, are the 7 days of the miracle. So that's a very interesting approach of the Pri Chadosh. And what's interesting is, and this is the most fascinating of all, it seems as if the Pri Chadosh here is at odds with the Beis Yosef. As if to say, the Beis Yosef asked the question and gave three answers, and what they all have in common is that they make 8 days out of the oil, as opposed to the Pri Chadosh, who divided it into 1 plus 7. But as we will look a little bit closer, we will see that that is not the case. The approach of the Pri Chadosh and the approach of the Beis Yosef do not contradict each other, they actually complement each other for the following very simple reason. Let's go back to specifically the second and third answers of the Beis Yosef. If we remind ourselves of his question, Why? It's Chanukah 8 days, and the first day at least was normal. And then you have 7 miraculous days. So Chanukah should be 7 days and not 8. Now the second and third answers of the Beis Yosef, what they did was they suggested that the reason why even the first day was a miracle is because either the lamps were still full at the end of the first day, or the flask of oil filled up immediately again after the first day, and therefore it was a miracle from day one. Very nice. Says the Chidah in the Sefer Birkei Yosef, you haven't answered the question. Because the question was, one of the 8 days was normal, and the 7 of them were a miracle. Now, the assumption at the question stage was day one was normal, and the next 7 days were the miracle. But by the time the Beis Yosef is finished, so, in a sense, what used to cover the head now covers the feet. Namely, you've explained how even there was a miracle from day one, but if you follow it through, then by the time you get to day eight will be the normal day. Right? In other words, if the miracle starts, let us say for argument's sake, we take the approach that the jug filled up immediately on day one, so it was ready for day two. So what was the miracle on day two? That it filled up for day three. So each day's miracle prepares for the next day, but by the time you get to day 7, it filled up miraculously for day 8. And what happened on day 8? It burnt. So the problem in the question stage was on day 1. The 7 days of miracles have just been moved up one, but they leave exposed day 8. That's a good shaila. That's the Chidah's question. Says Rabbi Yosef Cohen, the grandson of Rabbi Pesach Frank, the son-in-law of Rabbi Pesach Frank, in his footnotes to the Mikroi Kodesh of Rabbi Frank, that's not all. You see, let us go back to the answer of the Pri Chodesh. The Pri Chodesh says day one is the war, and then the next 7 days, day 2 to 8, are the miracle. And if we understand that the Pri Chodesh is completely independent of the Beis Yosef, says Rabbi Yosef Cohen, so I have a problem. Because you haven't answered the question of the Beis Yosef, you just deferred it a day. If the question of the Beis Yosef was, day one of the 8 days was normal, and the next 7 days were miraculous, then actually you have a very awkward situation, whereby the 25th of Kislev is Chanukah because of the war. And then, from the 26th for the next 8 days, they lit the lamps. But the Beis Yosef said that the first day was normal. So actually, according to the Pri Chodesh, Chanukah should look like this. Day one, Chanukah. Day two, get the day off. Days 3 till 9 are Chanukah again. In other words, if we haven't dealt with the fact that the first day was not a miracle, the first day of the lighting, then all that you did was you had the 25th as celebrating the war, but with the next 8 days, the first of those days is not a miracle. So Chanukah would look a very unusual shape indeed. So what seemed quite straightforward a few moments ago actually is a bit of a tangle. But the good news is, says Rabbi Yosef Cohen, these two questions answer each other. They actually neutralize each other. As if to say, according to the final, the second and third approaches of the Beis Yosef, the miracle happened for the first 7 days. And then the 8th day was normal. That works out very well because those first 7 days were the first 7 days after the 25th, which is celebrating the war. In other words, for the Pri Chodesh, the 25th of Kislev is the first day of Chanukah celebrates the war. From the 26th and onwards, there were 8 days of lighting. But only the first 7 of those 8 days were miraculous. Those 7 days plus the 1 give us the 8 days of Chanukah. So this is the harmonizing approach of Rabbi Yosef Cohen. And this explains to us why Chanukah is when it is, how long it is, and the shape that it is. What's very interesting, though, after all of these calculations and permutations, is that Chanukah has an interesting character. Namely, the first of the days isn't celebrating what the other days are. If we put it all together, for the Pri Chodesh, the first day celebrates the war. Ala Yeshuos, Vala Teshuos, Vala. And the next 7 days celebrate the miracle of the oil. and you'd never know. In other words, there isn't anything that we do on the second day of Hanukkah that's different than what we do on the first day of Hanukkah. We do exactly the same thing. All 8 days are homogeneous, even though they actually reflect very different things. And that's most interesting. We light the menorah on the first day as surely as we light it from days 2 to 8. If you didn't have the Prichodosh to enlighten you, you'd never know that actually we're celebrating something else. And that's quite significant. That's quite noteworthy. And with this background, I would like to turn our attention to the part of Hanukkah which I believe receives less attention, namely Hallel. In other words, there are actually two mitzvos derabbanon that take place on Hanukkah. The lion's share of inspection and observation goes to the lighting of the menorah, of course. It's unique to Hanukkah, and there's so many details. But alongside of that, right, the other pillar of Hanukkah is Hallel. It is equal in force, equal in mitzvah. And let us take a look and see what we can discover about the mitzvah of Hallel that we say all 8 days of Hanukkah. Probably the most important way to begin when we discuss Hallel ever is to realize that there are two types of Hallel. Now, when we say there's two types of Hallel, the better way to say that is that Hallel can be generated by two different things. It can either be generated by a Yom Tov. In other words, we say Hallel because it's Yom Tov. Or it could be generated by the fact that a miracle happened. And these are two separate tracks. When it comes to Yom Tov, and this is the well-known discussion of the Gemara in Maseches Erechin on Daf Yud, whereby the Gemara discusses which days we say Hallel. So it starts with Sukkot, of course, with Sukkot and Shavuos. I mean, those are days that we say Hallel. And because they're Yomim Tovim, they're Moadim. And then the Gemara proceeds to suggest other days that we should say Hallel. It will sound like a funny suggestion for us because we're used to not saying Hallel. But the Gemara asks, why not say Hallel on Shabbos? And it's also a holy day. The Gemara responds, no, Shabbos is not a moed. It needs to be a moed in order to say Hallel. Shabbos is not a moed. Okay. What about Rosh Chodesh? Could that work? Because when we say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, that's a minag. I mean, it's a minag from the times of the Gemara, that it's not a chiyuv midrabbanon. Sfaradim, you may know, do not make a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. They don't make a bracha on a minag. Ashkenazim make brachas on various minhagim, so we make a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. But there is no obligation. Why not? Says the Gemara, because it's not enough of a moed. After all, it's mutter to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh, so it's not enough. And it keeps on going on and on, and days are falling to the right and to the left until all we have is Yom Tov. And then the Gemara says, well, what about Chanukah? Chanukah isn't any of those things. It's not a moed. It's not osur bas in malacha. There's no special korbanos on Chanukah. There's no anything. I mean, in terms of those criteria. And on that, the Gemara says, yeah, but on Chanukah, Nes happened. So that's why you say Hallel. Mishum Nisa. That's it. And really, what emerges from here is that we have two tracks within Hallel, two mechayavim of Hallel. One is because it's Yom Tov, and when it's Yom Tov, you do many things. You make Kiddush, and you make Havdalah. Kiddush at the beginning, Havdalah at the end, and Hallel during the day, because it's Yom Tov. It's an expression of the fact that it's Yom Tov. And the other way is because a miracle happened. And in fact, the famous formula, which is to be found elsewhere in the Talmud, Maseches Psachim, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, which talks about the origins of Hallel. The original format of Hallel was said earlier than David HaMelech. It was said by Nevi'im in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. As we know, there are a number of items in Tehillim, Prokem of Tehillim, that David HaMelech didn't say them. He put them together. I mean, you have Tefillah LeMoshe, and Tefillah LeMoshe is for Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says there were ten co-authors, all told, of Sefer Tehillim. And David HaMelech came at the end and put it all together. And Hallel, at least in a certain format, existed from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Nevi'im in that generation instituted, and if we watch carefully the phraseology of the Gemara, I'll call Perek Uperek on every significant juncture, that I'll call Tzara B'Tzara Shelotava, and on any dangerous situation, calamity, that may befall. As if to say, these are the two types of days that you say halal. Kol perek uperek, every significant day, says Rishonim, means Yomim Tovim, the regalim. Kol tzara v'tzara shelo tovo, and dangerous situations or calamities that we're saved from, that refers to the nace-generated halal. And so, when we come to say halal on Chanukah, it's in the category of kol tzara v'tzara, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us, and we say halal. So, there's a fascinating question, or actually, more correctly, the question is very simple. The answer may be fascinating. The question is, why do we say halal when a nace occurs? And of course, what's behind the question is, if we understand that we should mark the miracle, it's a special event, and recognize it, we're doing that anyway when we come to the specific day of Chanukah. In other words, we light the menorah, and we say al nisim. So in a sense, it is not as if we haven't responded to the miracle, or haven't celebrated it, or publicized it, or noted it. But it sounds like, in addition to all of that, yes, kvodam bimkomam munach. You lit the menorah, you said al nisim, but you haven't finished until you've said halal. Why? Why is it that the day is not complete without halal? The response to the miracle is not complete without halal. Now, there are a number of answers to this question, but one that I found to be particularly fascinating this year is as follows, and there are a number of Mefarshim who say this. We have identified two impetus for halal, two things that could generate halal: Yom Tov, or the occurrence of a miracle. There are those who say that indeed there are two things that will make you say halal, but the division is not, as we said. It's not between Yom Tov and a day of miracles. Rather, there is only one type of day upon which you say halal, and that's called Yom Tov. But there are two types of days that are called Yom Tov. In other words, there are two things that can happen if we understand it's not a straight line from them to halal. Not that there are two things that can lead you to halal, either Yom Tov or a miracle. There are two things that can lead a day to be classified as a Yom Tov. Number one, the Kedusha of the day, like Shalosh Regalim. Or number two, the fact that a miracle occurred. As if to say, you only ever say halal if it's Yom Tov. But the definition of Yom Tov when it comes to halal could either be it's Yom Tov because it's a regal, or it's Yom Tov because a miracle happened today. And that's fascinating. And the truth is, one could say that this is explicit in the Talmud, because then once again, if we refer back to the famous section of My Chanukah, which is there at the bottom of Shabbos Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Beis, My Chanukah, what's it all about? It tells a story of the oil, only enough for one day, and then it burned for 8 days. And then the final words are, L'shona Acheres, in the following year, Kiva'um va'asa'um yomim tovim behalo v'hodah. It's interesting. The way that the Gemara characterizes the days of Chanukah is that they are yomim tovim for halo and hodah. Now, we don't normally call Chanukah a yom tov. I've never heard anyone wish anyone else good yom tov on Chanukah. But the Gemara does call it a Yom Tov. And with this understanding, we can understand that it's a Yom Tov in the sense that it's a special enough day for halal. That's what happened when a miracle happens on that day. And the truth is, I think that if we're sensitive to the nuance of the phraseology of the Rambam when he introduces the story of Chanukah, which he does in Hilchas Chanukah, Perek Gimel. And the Rambam tells the story. Interestingly, the Rambam tells the story of Chanukah. He doesn't tell the story of Purim. And the reason is very simple, because the Rambam, in his introduction, to the Mishnah Torah says, if you read the Tanakh and my Sefer, you'll know enough to be a good Jew. So if you read the Tanakh, you'll get the story of Purim, but you won't get the story of Hanukkah. But the Rambam has already underwritten that you need to know everything that you have to know after having read both of them. So if the story of Hanukkah is not going to be in the Tanakh, it's going to be in the Rambam, say, from the Mishnah Torah. Okay. Now, the first two halachas of Perek Gimel, for actually, the halachas of Hanukkah and Purim are shared within the Rambam. So the first two chapters of Megillah, and then Perek Gimel begins Hanukkah. So he brings the whole story. But by Sheni, Kishemalchu Yavon, Gozru Gozerus HaYisrael, he goes through the entire background to Hanukkah. Those are the first two halachas. He tells the story of the war and the story of the miracle with the oil. And then in halacha Gimel, Umipnei Zeh, Hitkinu Chachamim Sheba'oso Ador. As a result of all of this, the Chachamim in that generation instituted Shiyushmonas Yomim Ha'ela, these 8 days, Shetchilosan Bekafe Bekislev, beginning on the 25th of Kislev, Yemei Simcha V'Halel, Umadlikin Behen HaNeros Ba'erev. Now, what I think is very interesting about these words of the Rambam is that of the two mitzvahs of the day, namely Halel and Ner Chanukah, when he presented both of them, but he did not present both of them in the same way. Halel, he presented again, his words are, these 8 days are Yemei Simcha v'Halel, they are days of Simcha and Halel, and then said, Umadlikin Bahen, Neros Ba'erev, and we light lights in the evening of those days. In other words, the Rambam didn't say, in a uniform way, these are days of Halel and candle lighting. He didn't say these are days upon which we say Halel and light candles. Rather, he said they are days of Halel and we light candles. Because Halel is a function of the day. As the Gemara says, it's a Yom Tov. And because it's a Yom Tov, you say Halel. That is a characterization of the day. It's a response to the nature of the day. Lighting the menorah is the mitzvah of the day. And that's why the Rambam describes it as something that we do. Halel is a type of day that it is. It's a subtle shift, but I believe that it bears out this understanding of how Halel comes. A nes turns a day into a Yom Tov. And on Yom Tov, you say Halel. Now, the important question to ask, however we understand how the miracle gets you to Halel, of course, is which miracle? Because once again, we're mindful of the fact that there were two nisim that took place. There's the miracle with the war, there's the miracle with the shemen, and the, pardon the expression, burning question will be, which of those is the one that makes it a Yom Tov or leads us to Halel? And the answer, interestingly, is not so straightforward. When we consider once again the section of Gemara, My Chanukah, where it presents to us what Chanukah is all about. My Chanukah. Well, if we look at the consult the Gemara there, we will see that there is very little discussion of the war. In other words, it begins, My Chanukah, what's Chanukah all about? These are 8 days, they're special days, and the reason why, I'm loosely paraphrasing the Gemara, but basically the Gemara says, because when the Hashmonaim overcame the enemy, they made their way to the Beis HaMikdash, and all the oil was Tomei, and they couldn't find any tar until they searched, and they found, and there was only enough for 1 day, but they used it, and it lived for 8 days, and that is why we say, that's why we have Chanukah, Lashana Acheres Kiva'um, Yomim Tovim Bahala Vahudah. It's very striking that the overwhelming sense of what the Gemara is saying is that the Halel on Chanukah is as a result of the miracle with the oil. There is no mention of the war. My Chanukah, what's it all about? If you know what happened with the oil, you'll understand why we say Halel on Chanukah. That's, from a reading of the Gemara, that's what it sounds like. That said, there is another thing that we say, and we all say it, in the Alanisim for Chanukah. So how does Al HaNisim, what does it relate to? It's actually the converse of the Gemara. Because the lion's share of the Al HaNisim is about the war. As we know, Rabim Biyad Me'atim, Danto Es Dinam, Rabto Es Rivam, it's all about the war. You could say either completely about the war, or certainly almost all. In other words, at the end we do say, it is correct, and we do say, but that itself needs great explanation as to why we talk about the lighting of the menorah in such a passing way. You could never fathom from there anything about the miracle with the oil. It just says they lit the menorah. And where better to talk about the miracle of the oil than in Al HaNisim? And for some reason we don't. We focus on the war, on the victory, and the conclusion is V'kavu shmonas yimei Chanukah elu lehodos u'lehalel. Now, I don't think it's that much of a liberty to take that if we see the words lehalel said within connection with Chanukah, it's talking about halel. And therefore, from the text of the Al HaNisim, it really sounds like the halel is a result of the war. And in a sense, we now need to navigate between these two sources. When the Gemara talks about it, it really sets up halel as a result of the miracle with the oil. When the Al HaNisim, it seems to be the result of the war. Rashi corroborates this. For once again, when we refer to the two types of halal, called perek uperek, and called tzara v'tzara. Now, perek uperek are special days like regalim, and called tzara v'tzara, says the Gemara, when the Jewish people are saved from them, they say halal. Says Rashi, kagon, for example, Chanukah. In other words, what Rashi has established there is that the halal on Chanukah is because of the tzara that we were in, that we were saved from. Called Tzara V'Tzara, Shelo Tavo Aleim, that it should never come on the Jewish people, but if it does, K'sheni Golim Mehem, you Omrim Shira, says Rashi, like Chanukah. So Rashi has characterized the Halal of Chanukah as a response to the Yeshuas. But on the other hand, I think we've run out of hands already, but a further consideration, which is most fascinating, is that on the 8 days of Chanukah, we say Halel Sholeh. Now that should not be taken for granted or taken lightly for the following reason. Not every day that we say Halel do we say Halel Sholeh. A significant example is the last days of Pesach. After the first day, or in Chutz Lartz, the first 2 days, Chol HaMoed and Shvi'i Shel Pesach is half Halel. And in fact, the Talmud discusses this. Why is it that for all 8/9 days of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres we say Halal Sholem, which we do, and when it comes to Pesach, so after the first day, it's half Halal. It's unusual. Ma nishtana, ha-halal hazeh. And the Gemara says, the reason why is because the relationship of the days of Sukkot one to the other is different than that of Pesach one to the other. On Pesach, now the Korbanos Musaf are key here, because the special Korbanos, once again, are a meter of the nature of the day. The Korbanos of Musaf on Sukkot are different every day. See, on Pesach, the Korbanos Musaf are exactly the same. So you know from the leining, Ko'ele Tasu Layom Shivas Yomim. Whatever is on the first day, you do for 7 days. Now, every day is special. But no day is distinct from the day before it. And therefore, it doesn't establish itself as an independent Yom Tov to have full Halal. Sukkot, every day is different than the day before. Interestingly, every day the Korbanos are less than the day before. Because it's the Pari HaChag that start at 13 on the first day, go down to 7 by the seventh day. Less is more sometimes. That shift characterizes each day as a new Yom Tov, and therefore we say Halal Sholem. So this is the explanation of the Gemara why Sukkot is different than Pesach. Now, with this background, we should be very intrigued to find out why Hanukkah is the way that it is. Specifically, we say Halal Shaleh. After all, is it true that every day of Hanukkah is different than the day before? So it's most interesting to note, it needs a lot of reflection, I think, that the Beis Yosef quotes one of the Rishonim called the Shibale Haleket, who says that every day of Hanukkah is unique. Why? Because on every day you light a different number of candles. So it's like Chaluk B'Korbanosav. It's like a new day. On the second day, you light two. Not like yesterday, and not like tomorrow. Now that's a fascinating answer. And not least of which, because the requirement or the notion of adding candles, one, two, three, four, is not actually an inherent requirement in the mitzvah. It's not an essential requirement of the mitzvah. That is the mitzvah, as we know, Ner Chanukah can exist on three levels. If you didn't know it, you'd never guess it. Because what we take for granted as the way to perform the mitzvah is actually the best way to perform the mitzvah. Mahadrin min ha-mahadrin. That's a term that originally only existed within Chanukah. Mahadrin min ha-mahadrin. It has since escaped to various brochures and the like. But in principle, its home is Chanukah. The basic mitzvah is just the one light in the house. That's it. If you only have one light, that's what you light. With a bracha. With all brachas. And then Mahadrin, the second level, is corresponding to each person who lives in the house, but the same amount each night. Five people live in the house, it's five lights every night. And then Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, the super level, the superlative level of fulfilling the mitzvah, level three, is to increase, or some say actually to decrease. That's of course Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, but to have a different number every night. So it's fascinating that the Shibale Haleket sees within the differing number of candles every night, which is really an appurtenance of the highest level to fulfill the mitzvah, as an essential difference within every day, to the extent that it's like Sukkot. And every day gets a full challah. We should mention, and we mentioned in passing, of course, Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai actually say that, although it sounds strange to us if you've never heard it, that the way that the candles fluctuate is not in ascending order, but in descending order. So on the first night, you start with eight, then go down to seven, then go down to six. And one of the reasons that is given by the Gemara is Keneged Pari HaChag. It corresponds to the Musaf of Sukkot, which is very interesting, because it now emerges that Chanukah and Sukkot have a great deal in common. I must mention, I saw just today in the Aruch HaShulchan, needs to be taken in the way that it was said. But the Aruch HaShulchan quotes from the Sefer Chashmur Noyim, that there is a great deal, it's not for nothing that Chanukah has a great deal in common with Sukkot. Because the Chashmonaim, during the battles that ensued and the Beis HaMikdash was out of operation, that year they were not able to celebrate Sukkot. And therefore, when they were Mechanech, the Beis HaMikdash, they were looking as far as they could to supplement the Sukkot that they missed. Amazing. And that's why it's 8 days. And that's why you have Halal Shalem. Very interesting indeed. But Beis Shammai say, it's Keneged Pari HaChag. So this is the answer, just to get back to where we are, that if the question is, why is there Halal Shalem? Every day seems to be like the day that preceded it, more or less, says the Shibale HaLeket. No, every day is different. Every day has more candles, or at least a different number of candles. And therefore it's like Sukkot. A corresponding answer to this question, once again, why is there Halal Shalem? Full Halal every 8 days, are they not all the same? I mean, all equally good, but not all the same, like Pesach. The Tosfos in Maseches Tanis, Daf Kafches Amud Beis, deals with this question. and give it two lines. And these are their words. Says the Tosvos, Chanukah, on Chanukah, dinahu, it is correct, ligmor halel, to finish the halel, means to say halel sholem every day. Why? To call haches yomim, because each one of the 8 days, hayahanes misgadel, because the miracle with the oil increased every day. That's very interesting. In other words, although you could say it might depend on how you understand how the miracle worked, but we can understand that oil that's meant to last for 1 day, so it lasts, if it lasts for two, that's a miracle. And if that same oil lasts for three, it's more of a miracle, right? And so it goes. And therefore, it's not actually the same miracle every day. Because when you consider that it's only meant to last for one, so for each extra day that it lasts, it's actually a greater miracle that today, the oil was meant to last for 1 day, lasted for 6 days. And the next day lasted for 7 days. Now, it's fascinating to see the conclusion of the Tosfos. On every day, Hayahanes misgadel, the nes increased every day, Vaya kolchad vechad yomtov, and therefore each and every day was a yomtov. And that once again is a reverberation of the idea that if there's a great nes that occurs on that day, it turns it into a yomtov. And it's a greater nes than the day before, it's a different yomtov than the day before, and it's really like Sukkos. Now, what's interesting is, I mean, aside from the idea in itself, is that once again we see that at the very least the shape of the Hallel, if we come back to our question, which miracle are we saying Hallel over? Well, for the Tosfos, at the very least, the fact that it's Hallel Shalem is only due to the fact of the miracle of the oil. That was the miracle that increased from day to day. That's what gives us Hallel Shalem. So we have actually already now collated a number of sources. You have the Gemara of Maichanukah, which seems to put it down to the Neis Pach HaShemen. You have Hal HaNisim, which talks about the war. You have Rashi, which says Chanukah is an example of Kol Tzara V'Tzara. It sounds to be like the war. It's only Halal Shalem because of the miracle with the oil. So how are we to make Shalom here, to understand how exactly Halal comes to be the way that it is? So the truth of the matter is that while we're talking about why Halal is Halal Shalem every day of Chanukah, we have to ask another question, or we have to recognize something else. Chanukah itself is only 8 days, of course, because of the miracle with the oil. That means that were it not for the miracle of the oil, Chanukah would be approximately as long as Purim, and actually shorter, because it would be the day. The day would be Kafei Kislev. How does Chanukah become 8 days long? So there is no question that the reason why Chanukah is 8 days long is thanks to the fact that seven of those days were the Neis Pach HaShemen. And at this point, I think it will be illuminating for us to consider the words of the Maharal. Of these two miracles, the war and the Neis Pach HaShemen, they're so different from each other. Their goal seems to be so different, and their nature seems to be different. The miracle with the war is the Jewish people are in trouble. They've gone to war for God's cause and they're in trouble. There's only a few of them. The miracle with the oil is so different. They've already at least reached a stage of respite. And there isn't enough Tomei oil, or there's enough Tahor oil, it's all Tomei, which halachically is mutter to use anyway if necessary. And but they're trying and they're using Tahor oil, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu lays on a miracle. How different it is in nature. It almost seems like a luxury miracle. Because it's not to save them. If you can't do a mitzvah, you can't do a mitzvah. And they could anyway. They would have used Tomei oil. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided a miracle so they wouldn't have to use Tomei oil. I don't know that that's... How does that have any traction with the miracle of the war? Says the Maharal, the entire miracle with the oil was unnecessary in and of itself. They didn't need it. They could have done without it. And they would have done as best they could. Which when you think about it, when it comes to mitzvahs, that's all you can do. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu does our mitzvahs for us, then there are no mitzvahs. So why did it happen? Why was there such a show, almost really a gratuitous show, of miracle? The answer, says Maharal, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to ensure that the Jewish people at the time were under no illusions that what they had just experienced on the battlefield was anything other than a miracle. In other words, they had this stunning military victory, and now it could go two ways. Looking back, what do you make of it? Will you explain it away and take the credit? Or will you say, Hodu Lashem Kito? And as we know, it's a territorial hazard with these sorts of situations. And it would be a terrible waste, actually, and tragedy even, for to have gone through Hanukkah and for the Hashmonaim just to pat themselves on the back, not to realize what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had done for them. In order to ensure, in no uncertain terms, that they would appreciate and realize that a miracle had happened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on a week of miracles for them, so that they realize that they are in a zone, a field of miracles. And it should make them look back at the war and say, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is performing miracles for us in here, let's perhaps make sure that we don't forget to appreciate the miracles that happened out there. The original Maral and Sefer Ner Mitzvah, the original Hadlokas HaNer was in order to announce Nes Gadol Haya Po. Make sure you didn't miss it. And what's interesting is the Chasam Sofer points out that in Alanisim, when we talk about the miracles of the time, so we say, Ulecha asisa shem godol v'kodosh be'olamecha. Okay, what is shem godol and what is shem kodosh? And the question is piqued because, as it concludes, we say, v'kodosh shemoneshi mechanaka elu lehodos elahale l'shimcha ha'godol. So we started out by saying Asisa Shem Godol v'Kodosh, but we end up by saying Lodos Al Shimcha HaGodol. So whatever happened to Shem Kodosh? That's an interesting question. And the Chasam Sofer explains the difference between Godol and Kodosh is that Godol means great and Kodosh means removed, as we know. Rashi tells us Kedoshim Tiyu means Purushim Tiyu. Anything which is removed from the nature of the world is called Kodosh. Any great event that happens within the nature of the world is called Godol. Shem Godol means HaKadosh Baruch Hu was recognized as the force behind natural occurrences. Shem Kodosh is recognized as the source behind miracles. HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed both types of miracles. On the battlefield, Shem Godol. In the Beis HaMikdash, Shem Kodosh. And why? The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed a miracle of Shem Kodosh, a supernatural miracle, is in order that we don't forget Lehodos or Lehalel Ashimcha HaGodol. It was the miracle within nature that was in danger of being forgotten, swept aside, explained away. In order to ensure that wouldn't happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu vouchsafed it by surrounding it with a supernatural miracle so that you understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing this in for you, that Shimcha HaGodol should be appreciated. And with this in mind, we can come back to our harmonized understanding of Hanukkah, whereby you have the first day celebrates the war, according to the Pri Chodosh. The next 7 days celebrate the Nes Pach HaShemen, and they all do so in exactly the same way. And the result is the 8 days of Hanukkah. But according to the Maharal, the institution of 8 days of Hanukkah and not 7 days is because after witnessing the miracle with the oil, the goal of that is to look back on the battle and say that was also a miracle. And that's how Hanukkah came to be 8 days. We say in Maoz Tzor, in Yevonim Nikvatzu Alai, which is the last one talking about Hanukkah, Minosa Kankanim, Nasa Nesla Shoshanim, that from the remnants of the oil, there was a great miracle. And therefore, B'nei Vina, Yemei Shmona Kavu Shir Uranan. B'nei Bina, people of insight instituted 8 days. The concept of bina, say the Meforshim, comes from the word binyan. It means to build, because it's a deductive process. The insight of bina means to take all the information that you know and to build, to deduce one thing from the other. Mevin davar, mitoch davar. So the question is, how is the institution of Hanukkah the product of bina? How is it mevin davar, mitoch davar, say the Meforshim? Because you are mevin, the miracle of the battle, mitoch, the miracle of the oil. That's what makes you b'nei bina. If we hadn't been b'nei bina, if we hadn't drawn the correct conclusions, Hanukkah would have been 7 days, because the only miracle that we would have noticed is the one with the oil, 7 days of miracle. But being b'nei bina, you have a week's worth of miracles. So think back to this time last week, day number one. Don't you realize, mevin davar mitoch davar, that's also a miracle? And if it's also a miracle, it's also worth celebrating. So Hanukkah is not 7 days, it's 8 days. That's b'nei bina, yimei shmona, kavushir urinon. And I think that there's a further point here. The ideological war between Yavan, between Greece and Yisrael. So of course it's multifaceted, and I don't claim any expertise in Greek philosophy, but this much we know. That Greece, of course, worships nature, everything as natural as it can be, and that's how they competed in the games, and that's what they portrayed, and they were great students of the natural world. And that can be a wonderful thing. Of course, there's a great deal of the yofi of Yefes that finds its way into mitzvahs. And Hidur mitzvah is a great part of Hanukkah. So where is the battle between them and Yisrael? The battle is, and this Rav Huttner says in the Pachad Yitzchak, that there is one danger of being an ardent student of nature. Namely, you may come to see everything as being subject to natural law, as inviolable as the natural law of the world, including the nature of a person. In other words, if your endeavor and your focus is about natural phenomena, how do things work, and there are forces, and the forces of nature are absolute and unforgiving. There's no compassion and there's no moral positions. And if you know the nature of the world, and you know the nature of the beast, the nature of the human being, so those laws are as inexorable and immutable as the laws of the world around you. And the moral of the story is, live naturally and never try and rise above it. And that's why determinism was such a key concept within the Greek way of looking at things. Because that's how I am. And as surely as if you hold a fire up to any flammable substance, it will burst into flames. And if you hold an inflammable situation up to me, so I'll burst into flames. And it's all nature. And when Torah comes along and says that this is the point of conflict between us, and if you look at their deities, if you have even a passing knowledge, it is a soap opera of a religion, whereby each one is more dysfunctional than the other. And these are their deities. And the moral of the story is, don't look at me. I mean, look at them. I mean, they have issues. And I'm just following them. It's good enough for them. It's good enough for me. And therefore, when Yisrael comes along and subscribes to the Torah, and the Torah says human nature exists, but it can be overcome, and many times it needs to be overcome, and that's what's called good living. That's what's called successful living. So that's where you have the machlokas. Because we refuse to accept as immutable fact what Yavan presents as the nature of the human being. As far as Yisrael are concerned, we can do better. And that's not a nice thing to hear. And I think that perhaps against that background, the supernatural miracle of the oil takes on a new significance. Because if Yavan is saying, well, look, the nature of a person is like the nature of the world. The nature of the world can't be changed, and neither can a person. So in addition to Yisrael saying the nature of a person can be changed, for that week HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, even the nature of the world can be changed. In other words, your point of departure, the immutable nature of the world, even that can be changed. and certainly to break the equation between human nature, and that is, of course, what Torah is all about. And these, therefore, these 8 days of Chanukah, these special days, these Yomim Tovim of Halav v'Hodar, they're days to appreciate what we have, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. And of course, in Torah, a little appreciation goes a long way. Maybe Geula La'olam, the more we appreciate the past Nisim, the more we will feel entitled, Mitz Hashem, to look forward to future Nisim, the Shekam Bekorov. I wish you all a happy Chanukah. And to mention again, Hanei.